feet of the mic.
Can you smell what the Zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
All right, welcome back. Arkansas on the court tonight. Southeastern Louisiana, the Lions coming into the hog pen.
The palace is going to be packed. Probably not, but I hope it is.
Hopefully it'll be enough. It's a game that you can listen to here on The Buzz. You can also watch it on Chris's favorite station, KATV.
That's Channel 7 in your local viewing area. Maybe 8 on cable.
Scott Inman on Old Curly. Blake Eds will be calling the game tonight on KATV. And, of course, it'll be Rick and Chuck on The Buzz. So you get a good broadcast either way. Joined in the studio by Ernie Murray to talk a little more about tonight's matchup. Also, look back on Maui. And we're also expecting a call from Jim Harris, as usual, on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Talk a little football and basketball. Emo, back from Maui. You still smell like pineapples and coconuts, my man.
I tell you, when you go to Maui, whenever you go to Hawaii, you better eat coconuts. And macadamia nuts is big thing over
there.
I tell you what, you better take a lot of money because it's really, 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 really expensive. Just the wife and I. And I tell you, we added it up. I don't know if we're going to have a Christmas or not.
That's good enough.
But I tell you what, if any guys listening and you want to get some brownie points with your wife, take her to Hawaii.
That's right. And as Trey Schaap knows, if you fly over there and you sit in first class, make sure she's up there with you.
That's right.
That's the way to roll.
That is important, my
man.
Friend.
Trey Schaap took his family and he did it right. I commend him. He played 90 holes of golf, though, and apparently he got his wife and daughter to ride around with him. And as beautiful as Maui is, there aren't too many things prettier than the golf courses.
Oh, it's beautiful. I tell you what, we got out a lot of nights, the wife and I, and we walked. It just don't even feel like you in the United States. And we was there for a week, and my wife said, I could stay here for two more weeks. It was just that peaceful.
If money was no object, I would definitely be spending a lot more time there. The thing is, there are a couple things about Hawaii that always stood out to me. First of all, the stars look like they're 4 feet above your head.
You're exactly right.
And I can't imagine for a guy who's actually tall like you how nice that is. For me, it looked really close. And then all the wildlife and the different things. You were talking about the big turtles you saw over there. I remember seeing a gecko after a couple of extra roaming
Not
cokes.
A gecko.
I'm going to tell you what else I saw. Tell you what else I had a chance. I saw a jellyfish.
Yeah, well, that I've seen before. Those I don't like.
Was it blue? Did it float?
No, it was.
Not a Portuguese man of war?
It was amazing. It attacked the little boy, and he didn't know what it was hitting him until he got out and he had all these red marks. But I tell you what, just to be there, be in that atmosphere, have all access to the Razorbacks. I mean, it was just a perfect event, and I think it was just great to be there. But I just wish we had one more win. I think this basketball team still doesn't really have a true point guard, and you need a guy that can run the club. And we really don't have no lockdown defenders at guard. I think a guard has to be the one that disrupts the other team offense. We're not getting it done from a guard standpoint.
I was encouraged by some things I saw, though, Emo. And again, you got some pretty good shooting. Arkansas among the SEC's leaders now from beyond the arc, doing some good things offensively. And then early in that California game, going back to the first game they played over the year, like I said to you, I mean, it looked like some of the old school teams. It looked like they were playing with six defenders at various points through the first half.
You know, and Coach Anderson, we went to practice, Todd Day and I and Jimmy Dykes and Scotty Thurman, and we all were there. And he told those guys that, you know, it's just so important that former guys are following you guys around. And he said, we own business. They on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for the first half, we played pretty good. But this basketball team still has a tendency when things are not going well, they won't attack the bucket. And that comes with fear and being confident in your ability. But Coach Anderson said something in the press conference that after the California game and I think really helped his basketball team. He said, I lost that game because I didn't play Moses. And he said Moses was going to be the first man off the bench. And he was. I like Moses Kingsley. And the guy that I was with, this is a funny story. He said, I'm going to adopt Moses so I can be like the guy at Ole Miss. So when he goes pro, I won't have to work anymore. But just to be around those guys, Kiko with his energy, he's got to play more. I just think we're not getting nothing from Modricus Wade and Ricky Scott. Those guys are veterans. When your veterans don't give you anything, it really hurts. When you playing a guy like a Fred Gulley, who is, to me, an average guard, mm-hmm. and he's playing a lot of minutes, we really don't have a true point guard. But I think a guy that can really help this basketball team. He played great in the Minnesota game. It's Kai Madden. He has to step his game up and go to the next level. There are a lot of positive. I don't know if Cody Clark is back in Birmingham. I don't know really know what's going on with it, but he can't catch. He can't finish. I don't know what's going on.
And he had such a strong finish last year, too. And I think a lot of people were hoping he would carry that over.
Springboard, yeah.
Yeah, into this season, his senior year, nonetheless. You talked about the Minnesota game and Kai Madden being one of the bright spots. When you look at that game and what they were able to do, other than Kai Madden's play going 3-for-3 beyond the arc, what else did you see that you liked? And when you look at the positives that you took away from Maui, what were they?
What I liked in the – we got beat by a California team that I think got a guy that's a one-and-done. But what I like, what I saw in the Minnesota game, I thought we played by committee. I thought Landis Harris played great. I thought Moses played great. I thought we had a win by committee. And sometimes the worst thing you can do is a guy like Cody Clark to see the other guys getting going, and he's not able to get going. Michael Qualls, to me, is a guy. If he's got it going on offense, then he'll play on defense. He got the role reversed. You got to play defense first. Before you play offense. I thought the first game against California, he was horrible.
But he had some good moments after that.
Oh,
luckily.
He did. I tell you.
Justin Akre, Chris Kane, and Ernie Murray joining us, along with, of course, Matty T holding everything down. If you want in, you have a question or comment for Ernie about basketball, come on and get it. And, of course, Ernie, going back to the second game now, you know, Arkansas in a position but could not pull it off against Cal. In a position against Minnesota, and they finished strong and put them away. Talking about the second half of the Minnesota game, and then we need to get into the Gonzaga game too, which, you know, they didn't beat them, but that's going to help the RPI at the end of the day. Playing quality teams, you know, because it could have been a Chaminade matchup or a team that wasn't going to help you much. It was good to get against a team that is going to help you in the RPI.
You know, Coach Jay, I went in the dress room after the California game, and he kept saying, Minnesota, whoever we're going to play next, legs should be a little, they should be leg weary. He said, because they're going to play later. He said, so by the second half, they shouldn't have any leg. And the second half, Minnesota couldn't stand up because of the pressure of playing late, coming back and playing early. I think this basketball team has to build on this. Take the positive from Maui, bring them back to the state. Well, you're still in the state.
Right.
Back as they
to the
call,
mainland.
To
yes.
mainland.
Yes.
That's, yeah, that's to what mainland. They, the mainland. And win all your games at home, and you got the split in the SEC, then I think you got a great chance to be a tournament team.
Well, this conference, as we know, is not very strong. Two ranked teams right now, and only Missouri and Ole Miss getting votes in either of the polls outside of the top 25. Last night, I watched a horrific Auburn team get run out of the gym, which I did enjoy, admittedly, because it was at Hilton Coliseum, but that is a bad team, and I don't know how much longer Tony Barbee's going to make it down there.
That's probably it.
They are struggling. But let's bring in Jim Harris now as well from Sporting Live Arkansas. Jim, we're starting with hoops since Ernie's up here. But and mostly we just wanted to talk about his trip to Maui.
But
I brought y'all keychains. I just didn't bring
them. Oh,
you tell us the stuff away from the court.
Yes, exactly. That was the more important stuff. Sound like Coach Anderson did not enjoy his Maui trip the way the rest of the folks did. Sound like he locked it up, huh?
Yeah, you know, Jim, it was amazing to me that you could see the players out on Thursday and Friday, but you never saw Coach A. He wasn't even in the lobby. I saw Coach Watkins a couple of times, but you never did see him. And I thought that was a little weird for a head coach to go to Maui and not enjoy the beach. But he said that he was on a business trip, not a vacation.
Well, he did some good things out there, like the way they played against Minnesota and played hard against I don't think they really – the team showed up in the same mood he did. You know, for Cal, but it did look like the next two games they certainly brought it.
What'd you guys take away from the Gonzaga game? I didn't get a chance to see that.
Well, this is the only thing I took away from the Gonzaga game. I'm not a rocket scientist, but if I know Justin Akre is a pure shooter, and I know Chris Kane is suspect, why am I gonna go double team Chris Kane and lead Justin Akre?
Because I'm a threat. I'm a threat. That's why.
Let me tell you something. You laid that scenario out perfectly. You better guard me.
I couldn't figure that out. And I thought you can't help when you got a great player and a great shooter. And I thought we played pitiful defense against Gonzaga. You cannot leave a shooter. And the way the rims are in Maui, if it gets up there, it's going in.
Forgiving?
Yes.
Yeah. I always kind of thought, Ernie, even with a lot of Coach Richardson's defenses that sometimes we'd have a hard time. It looked like if you were watching from afar or courtside, that we didn't do a very good job of recognizing the shooter. I mean, we'd often leave the shooter, you know, because of the trapping and the scrambling, the great shooter got loose. I don't know how you felt. I don't know if that was necessarily as much true during your time as it was kind of later in the Richardson era. And then I noticed in the trapping and, you know, double teaming the other day against Gonzaga, the same thing. I mean, at some point,
you got to get out of it.
Somebody's got to go, man, I can't leave this guy.
Exactly. You know, and my wife said, well, you know, you can't win them all. But I don't like to give them away, and you know, and I, you know, and I thought against Gonzaga, you know, I can't think of the kid's name, number four. You can't leave him. I mean, I watched him play against Davidson when he almost won the game single-handed in the second half. So I knew he was going to give us fifth the next day.
I would like to point out a couple of stats here. Arkansas is last in the SEC, and admittedly they probably paid better competition than a couple of the other teams that are ahead of them. But Arkansas last in the SEC in scoring defense at almost 76 a game. Last in the SEC in field goal percentage defense. However, offensively doing the job, number one in the league in scoring at almost 85 a game, and third in the league in three-point field goal percentage, which is encouraging to me. What do we always talk about? Got to get a shooter. Got to get a shooter. We've seen a little bit of that. Probably got to defend a lot better, though, if they're going to win, like you said, roll at home and win half of those road games.
You know, if you're going to win on the road, you got to play great defense. And defense, to me, is nothing but an attitude. And I think sometimes these guys are so worried about trying to run out and get a dunk until they are scrambling and they're leaving shooters. You can leave me and Chris Kane wide open, but you can't leave Justin Akery wide.
You better guard me.
You cannot leave Justin
Akery
wide.
Let me ask
dangerous.
You, I will talk a ball into the hoop. You know this. Let me ask you.
You'll get one. I
want to ask you guys this, too, because, again, going back to what I said about the defense in the first half of the Cal game, this team is going to be infinitely more enjoyable to watch. You talked a couple of weeks ago, Ernie, about the chemistry of this team. They're going to be much easier to root for. You don't have that, pardon the expression, the turd on the team.
Exactly,
you don't have
right.
that situation. You've had that multiple times over the last several years, whether it was Courtney Fortson or B.J. Young, and not to point at those guys, but that just didn't work for whatever reason. But this team seems to have better chemistry. I hope the fans will get behind them. It's still a growing process, but they're going to be more fun to root for. I think they're going to have more success. And it's just going to be a more enjoyable experience for the fans. And that's what it really comes down to. You're paying your hard-earned money to buy tickets. You're taking time out away from your family in some cases. Sometimes you're just showing up late to work or you're not going in at all so you can go to these games. You got to prioritize. And so I got to have a good quality product to go view if I'm going to spend my time away.
I agree totally. You know, I like this basketball team. I'm not going to get down on them. But I think when you're playing in a tournament, you got to bring it every night. You can't play Monday, skip Tuesday, and play Wednesday. You got to bring it every night. And I thought some guys brought it every night. Some guys brought it one out of the three nights. And some of our veteran players didn't bring it any.
Did you ever play in a tournament like that in a tropical location?
Yes.
It's got to be hard to focus.
No, it's not, because what they do is they take you over 3 days before the game. And the first day you get there, the next day you can have fun.
That's your play day?
That's your play day.
Okay.
After that, no more ocean. You can't even get close to the ocean because it's all business. But I think it was just great to be there and be a part of it. But this basketball team, I think, is growing up in some areas, but they got to play defense. I saw what Coach Anderson said. We got to defend better. We got to be men. And he challenged them the second half of the Gonzaga game. He said, I want guys that want to play hard on defense. And you watched that game, and they didn't quit, but you kept leaving the shooter open.
Number four.
If he go to the dressing room, Kiko, you go with him.
Follow him.
That's exactly right. You can't leave him. If you contain him, I think you beat Gonzaga.
There's nothing can be done about this now. Arkansas did help itself by beating Minnesota and being able to play a quality opponent like Gonzaga. But other than that, you're stuck with the schedule you have laid out before you at this point, and it is not very good. It is a little bothersome to me, and Jim, I would like for you to chime in on this, that nobody wants to admit, at least, that it is not exactly a stellar non-conference schedule.
Right.
And everybody understood that you were going to have to do what you could to try to beef that part of it up. because of the fact that the SEC is down.
Well, let me say one thing about the schedule that really hurt us. Oklahoma called us and asked us could they amend the game for this year. They're going to play us next year. That really hurt us because I think Oklahoma is a tournament team. So that hurt us. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a coach, you better get you five or six cupcakes. Because, you know, you better get cupcakes because you need to build some momentum. Winning, once you start winning, I think it helps you. But I'm going to agree with Justin. We need to play a little bit tougher now.
Wasn't there an SEC team left out last year that had 10 wins in conference play?
Yes. I'm trying to think of who. Jim, do you remember who it was? They did have 10
wins.
Yeah,
but Alabama didn't make it.
Right.
Because so that's my deal. I mean, I don't know how much – and I know some of this is, and I talked to Steve Shields about it too. Scheduling is a difficult thing. Joe Klein has talked to me about it. I mean, it is not as easy as go get this guy. It's good for both of you. Let's go play.
Yeah. Well, and we're having trouble getting people to play us home and home. What I mean is, you know, I think Syracuse bagged out. They played us. They don't want to play us again. You get what I'm saying? So it's so hard. I mean, I guess you could play – the Dukes in the North Carolina, but I don't know if they would give you a home and a home series. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't do the scheduling, but I just
usually TV has to set those games up or it doesn't happen.
You're exactly right.
Well, and again, you got left out of the SEC Big 12 Challenge this year because, you know, 14 teams in the SEC and only 10 in the Big 12. So it's somebody's going to get left out, unfortunately, for Arkansas this year. That's a game that could have helped them potentially.
Right.
Not that the Big 12 is exactly, you know, owning
you know what,
the country, but there could have been a decent quality matchup there.
What is glaring to me about the schedule is not just the competition coming up here. I mean, they did get Clemson. Clemson is not the Clemson we remember in the ACC under Rick Barnes and the last few years there. They were 13-19 this past year. I think they'll be better. I think they'll give them a good game, but I don't think they're – I mean, that's not Duke or Carolina or an ACC team. Now, but the thing that's glaring to me is that every game from this point on until they start the SEC slate at Texas A&M is in Arkansas. I mean, there's not a real road game. I noticed a lot of people were commenting about the Maui thing and saying, well, we won a game on the road. Well, no, you didn't win a game on the road. You won it on a neutral court against Minnesota. But there's not one challenge. And I'm not saying go to Jackson State and play. I mean, you know, I'm
no, but, don't do that.
The one that's obvious to me is, and you've got a ranked opponent in this one too, and I don't know how interested they are in playing Arkansas, but to go play Memphis. And that's
well,
to me is a
Memphis
natural,
won't play us again.
Is that the deal?
No, we tried.
Even over there?
They won't play us. We tried.
They will not play them. They will not schedule a series with them. Nope. It's a recruiting thing.
Okay.
Asner continued it. It's something John Calipari decided he did not want Arkansas playing them home and home as a recruit, you know, because of recruiting.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, I think Jim is right. If TV gets involved, then we get more quality games. That's why if you win and make the tournament, I think that puts you on a bigger stage to get some bigger ball games.
Well, tonight, Southeastern Louisiana, Arkansas better win that one. Clemson at home as well. Savannah State, UT Martin, exactly, not exactly a who's who. South Alabama, High Point.
That's here now, the South Alabama game at Verizon.
That's right.
Are available.
I am going to be there. I'm excited about it. High Point, UTSA, and then the next road game will be the first SEC game for Arkansas. Unless you're looking at it from Coach Bielema's standpoint, then the South Alabama
game. The South Alabama game is
a road game, yeah. Arkansas
it
opens.
Is. They don't sleep in their own bed.
Yeah,
it is
well,
a road game.
Well, don't they stay in a hotel the night before a game when they're home now anyway?
Yeah, they do.
So what difference does it make?
Yeah.
Okay, quit bringing me that garbage then, because that's what people keep saying. Well, I stay in a hotel. Yeah, well, they stay in a hotel at home games too, so get out of here with that. At Texas A&M is their next road game, and that's not until January 8th. So Arkansas better run the table between now and then to keep the interest up, and I hope that folks will get out and support. Let me get a couple questions in here for basketball. And, Jim, obviously want to touch on some football things, including the SEC game this weekend, because it is going to be very significant, as we all understand. Cody, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've got three questions. One, what is Kiko's role this year? I only got to listen to the Maui and watch a little bit of it. I haven't heard anything else this year, and I know he didn't play much. But Kiko just seems like he embodies the Razorback spirit, you know, tough, gritty ball playing, can take a couple shots when he needs to. And the other is, are there glamour points in basketball, like we run up with the BCS title game for the BCS? we talk about how Boyd used to beat the crap out of people. I mean, could we do that in, you know, with this crappy schedule we got ahead of us that helps with the RPI?
You know, Cody, I think you're right. I think Kiko has to be a guy that plays a lot more because he brings a lot of energy to the basketball team, and he's a very smart basketball player. He will do the dirty work, and I don't know what, you know, sometimes coaches go on gut feelings.
Sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Sometimes coaches go on gut feelings, and I just think Kiko has got to be a guy to play more. I know he's starting Fred Gully at point, but I really like Kiko.
Let me get Shane in here. Shane, welcome.
Hey, Justin, I had a funny story for Ernie Murray. I don't know if he remembers a Coach Jolliffe I played for in high school at this little Christian school, and we had a tournament up at John Brown University. So Coach Jolliffe, and I think he coached the AAU team, but anyway, he got us in to watch them practice one year, and I believe it was Wallace and Oliver Miller had got into it. Word started flying, and I don't believe our teachers ever got out the house much. And you could look over them, and their faces just drained out. And they started gathering us up to take us out of the arena. But it was just funny to see their faces. And I just wondered, we got their autographs. There were some arrogant ones, and Ernie was one of the good ones that didn't mind signing the autographs. And I just wanted to appreciate that.
Wabaseka Flash is the kindest man alive. You know this.
Yeah, Shane, you know, we used to have those fights all the time. Roosevelt and Big O and Coach Richardson wouldn't stop them. And, you know, like that. That's called being competitive, you know. And I know your teacher's father was like, I didn't know that go on at Arkansas. It go on at every major program that's winning.
I saw a video from practice one day that never made air. And there was a punch thrown, and it connected pretty solidly on a certain someone that used to be at Arkansas. But I won't name names. Needless to say, it isn't an isolated incident. Those things happen. So
it happened.
When Michael Jordan ends up in a book for punching one of his teammates in practice, that's all it is, huh? It's just competitiveness. It's all good. He most okay with it.
I think what was said, and it was said, I mean, back when Ernie played, too, and he knows this, that in most cases, practices – were harder than the game.
Oh, no doubt. I hated practice. You know, I got to give Jim some props, too, while he's on there. Jim was my assistant AAU coach. Did you know that, Justin?
Jim Harris?
Yes.
I believe that.
Really helped me out.
Greg Cleveland and I were coaching an AAU program in Pine Bluff for a while. Then Ernie helped us. Remember, we had Ed Shabazz and those guys one year, too.
Byron Stewart?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Byron Stewart played with JoJo Goldsmith.
Yep.
Came up from Stamps. That's the town. Yeah, Stamps.
Jim, you got a good memory.
There's no question. He's an encyclopedia. He is Jim Harris of Sporting Life Arkansas. We've only got a couple minutes left here, Jim. Football-wise, you know, I don't know that there's much to be gained from going back through and talking about the LSU game. It was obviously heartbreaking, and I like to follow Jim on Twitter because Jim is journalist/frustrated fan at many points. And he's a very
balance. It's tough.
You're great. Yes. Twitter, a great Twitter follow. Chris Ash felt your wrath once again on Saturday. Or on
Jim
Friday,
Chaney,
I guess.
Too, by the way.
Yeah, so I guess a couple of thoughts, parting shots, and then I guess your hopes for the offseason and what's coming up next year.
Well, my hopes are that these guys' reputations as terrific recruiters prove true, because there's so much still to be added to this team. They played a terrific ball game Friday. The plan was offensive plan was perfect for Brandon Allen, and he executed it. The short passes, you know, opening up some running lanes inside and getting outside on them with Kiero and some guys. And I thought most of the game, I thought the defense did a terrific job. I mean, you know, I thought that up front they did great. I thought the linebackers had a better game than they had the week before. But the only thing that bothered me, and Ernie's been there too, and he remembers – us watching some games where it happened like this. Arkansas knows they don't have a defense, or that LSU could score, you know, on one play, but they played the fourth quarter like they did. And I just thought the two series with the football, I mean, they knew they had to get a first down.
Mm-hmm.
And they just didn't. And I think that's more frustrating
to me than giving up the touchdown, because you figure the touchdown's going to come. Even a freshman quarterback, I mean, you know that they could, somebody's going to, I don't know, 17 weeks of practicing in games. How does your free safety, who's a senior, not think? It's like football IQ. It's like basketball IQ, which Ernie Murray is right at the top with basketball IQ, Ernie. I'm not patronizing. You know I believe it. Football IQ on that football, on this team, was lacking. And why your free safety would not think, look, the one thing I can't do here is get beat over the top.
I spent 4 years in high school playing defensive back, and that's my only thought the entire time. I would think that a college senior has caught on to that by now. Job one, stop the pass. Jobs two, three, and four, see job one. Make sure that doesn't happen, especially in a third and long situation.
How many times this year did we get beat basically on the same type of play?
I don't even have to go back very far.
Rutgers, fourth down against Rutgers.
How about the Mississippi State game?
Mississippi State.
How many third and longs are converted wide open? Where is the safety, a corner, anybody?
I've never seen a safety out of position so much, and I don't know much about football, but he stayed out all year.
Well, it's just like not finding a shooter. After Pangos hits four or five threes, you might want to wake up on that. Yes. Bottom line is for me, and Jim, you pointed this out, you got kids that have limited IQs. You may have some kids that have limited ability. But that is a basic coaching thing, and a kid that runs a 4.8 can still know, I got to be in this particular area. And once the kid gets by, you're done. But you can be in position before the ball gets in the air. I'll never understand.
I mean, if they wanted a place for A.J. Derby, they should have put him back there, you know, in the last series. I mean, you know, that really, if you look at it, and I picked 6-6, and so I think that the team, in a way, underachieved. But I can show you where they should have been 6-6 now.
Mm-hmm.
They should have won at Rutgers, Mississippi State, and stolen the LSU game, and then they'd be in a bowl game.
Well, and frankly, the A&M game was not out of reach until the very end either, and that was a game I didn't expect them to necessarily be highly competitive in. So,
well, that was a weird game, too.
It was.
If you want to – hey, look, I'm sure Chris Ash is a very – he didn't forget how to coach. I know they had great defenses at Wisconsin. But they sat in that 4-2-5 in the whole second half, and all A&M did was run that zone read. I mean, they ran the ball. I mean, where's the extra linebacker? Where is the safety to come up and stop the run? They never did it.
Well,
Arkansas safeties never made a tackle at or behind the line of scrimmage.
But I'll give them credit. They came up and stopped the run on that last play against LSU the other day. So, unfortunately, they threw it over the top. But, hey, you know, it happens. I'm encouraged, though, Jim. Again, bottom line for me is this is a team that is deficient in a passing game, deficient defensively. They're missing a lot of pieces, and they were still competitive in all the games you outlined, plus the games they won.
Well,
I think
that's
going forward,
we got to go out and recruit.
That's it.
All there is to it.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Jim, I appreciate it, my man. I hope you had
a
good Thanksgiving.
Can't wait for Saturday. That will be a great game, Justin.
Oh, yeah.
Tigers versus Tigers.
Let me ask you real quick before we let you go. What do you want to see happen, and what do you expect to see happen, not only with that game, but in the whole BCS championship?
I want to see Michigan State beat Ohio State. And I don't care who wins the SEC game, but I want the SEC in the championship game. Now, I think Alabama's the only team with talent that was going to beat Florida State. I think Florida State's going to win it all. I think, unless of course they arrest the quarterback,
right?
And then you never know. But I think this game this week, and I'm really excited. I'm happy for Gus Malzahn. I know there's been a lot of hate and a lot of all this and that, but you know I'm happy what he's been able to show down there. He adjusted to what kind of talent he had. He's shown what a great coach does and what he does. And he is a great coach. I don't care what anybody says about it. He didn't just luck into the situation. He developed a team that was – they looked terrible against Washington State. And they didn't look that great in the first 4 weeks. But I'll tell you what, they looked awfully great Saturday against Alabama. And how smart was he to know, hey, If that guy kicks that field goal short, we're going to run it back like a punt.
Yeah, most brilliant. And that guy leads the league in punt returns, too.
And
so
it was hilarious to see all those humongous Alabama linemen out there on field goals
team out there trying to chase this guy.
Yeah.
And they had like two or three guys. And I don't know if you caught the angle, but there was one angle of that return shown from behind Alabama. The field goal kicker for Alabama absolutely got waylaid by an Auburn Tiger blocker. It's just you just see him get just demolished in the corner of the screen.
They do that. That sports science thing on ESPN did a great job of outlining what could have happened and how the closest guy would have been closer if he hadn't bumped into his own guy, would have easily been able to make the play. That was an interesting thing. My deal is on this, if Alabama was going to be in the title, I didn't want to see Alabama win the game because I didn't want to see Alabama in the title again. But now that Missouri or Auburn in line, I'm rooting much harder to see Ohio State bounced out or Florida State bounced out. But anyway,
yeah.
Jim, we appreciate
it. It ain't going to happen with Duke. I love what they've done.
Yeah.
But I do think that Ohio State has not played anybody, and they're finally playing somebody this weekend. And it should be a great weekend again of football.
Yep.
Look forward to talking about it next week, Justin.
No doubt. We'll talk a lot more
football next
week. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate
it. See you, Jim.
See you guys.
Jim Harris, follow him at SportingLifeArkansas.com and, of course, on Twitter. I hate that you're going to have to wait till next football season for him to tweet about Razorback football because it is always entertaining.
Well, he still will tweet about it. It just won't be in-game tweets.
No, his in-game follow is so much fun. I get a kick out of Jim. I'm like, oh, he's hot.
Oh, he's getting heated.
What I like about Jim, he just tell it how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jim doesn't care. Jim's not worried about losing credentials.
Jim's like the honey badger of media around here.
He is.
He doesn't care.
No.
The honey badger of media. That's pretty good.
He is. He's like a junior Harry King. He's a little bit grouchy, and he doesn't really care what you think. He's going to tell it the way it is. Tell you about the folks who do care, and that is Landers Ford in Benton, Arkansas. You know, the F-150, the official truck of the Arkansas Razorbacks, my friend. We should all pile in the back of an F-150 and go up and root those hogs onto a win tonight.
Feel great.
Great selection, the entire Ford lineup at Landers Ford in Benton, Arkansas. Over 500 used cars to choose from as well. And if you want to look for the best deal from a dealership, and there's nowhere else to go but in Benton, Arkansas.